You know, if I would have applied myself, I could have gone to the NBA.
You think so?
Yeah, I think so. But it's just like, it's been done. You know, I didn't want to, I was like, I don't want to be a follower. Hi, I'm Jason Concepcion.
And I'm Shea Serrano. And we are back. We have a new podcast from Wondery. It's called Six Trophies.
Woo!
And it's the f***ing best.
Each week, Shea Serrano and I are combing through all the NBA storylines, finding the best, most interesting, most compelling stories, and then handing out six pop culture themed trophies for six basketball related activities.
Trophies like the Dominic Toretto, I Live My Life a Quarter Mile at a Time trophy, which is given to someone who made a short-term decision with no regard for future consequence.
Or the Christopher Nolan Tenet trophy, which is given to someone who did something that we didn't understand.
Catalina Wine Mixer trophy.
Ooh, the Lauryn Hill You Might Win Some, But You Just Lost One trophy. And what's more, the NBA playoffs are here, so you want to make Six Trophies your go-to companion podcast through all the craziness. Follow Six Trophies on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts. Listen ad-free right now by joining Wondery Plus.
Good. Hey, what's up, everybody? So we're doing an emergency green room session here at Miami Heat. We did one earlier this morning, kind of talking about the free agency. I'm waiting for my co-hosts. Really excited. So this is kind of an interesting signing for Miami. I was kind of a Paul Millsap guy going in. Especially at the start of free agency, and I'd love to hear what you guys think. I was really an Otto Porter guy. Kind of those guys at the four, a little bit of shooting. They got a Morris twin, which I kind of, like, in retrospect, I kind of like. He gives them a little bit of size, a little bit of shooting, not too much. But, you know, I think they're going to need a little bit more kind of edge and a little more size and stock, especially when defending the Bucks. They got really small, PJ at the four, and they really don't have another backup four. I mean, they can do some stuff with, you know, PJ at the five, and they can go really, really small, kind of like Houston did. So I kind of like the move for Miami. They get a little versatility. They can play a little bigger. They can play two bigs, which is not too common in today's NBA, but it's something that we've talked about. Welcoming my co-host, Tiffany Meeks. Tiff.
Hey.
We got the twin. We've been clamoring for the twin. Well, y'all been clamoring for the twin. And we got a twin.
I honestly don't know the twins apart. I just know they got big bodies. And they'll go hard for you. So, you know what? Give me one.
So, I was talking earlier, and we talked about this morning. Like, they get a little bit more versatility. They can play, like, two big lineups. I think against Milwaukee, it kind of helps to be able to play a couple different ways. Not the best shooter, but at least he's a willing shooter. 31% last year, not good. 33, 39, 38. So, he's had some years where he's been good, some years where he's been bad. I think that the fact that he'd be willing to shoot is pretty good for them. You got to have a guy at the four that can play next to that plays next to Bam. He has to be able to shoot. So
right.
At least he's willing. Their spacing is not going to be perfect, but you can't let perfect be the enemy of good. And if he's on a minimum deal, I don't know if the details of the contract are out yet. I think that's a really good move for them.
Right. Listen, I'm hyped. You know, they didn't sit idly by and just say, we're okay. We just want to add a little piece here or there. No, they like went out and you know what? This team has gotten a facelift. This team is riding down Rodeo Drive. Listen, with the top down. Listen, we might score 95 points, but we're going to hold you to 82. Fuck it. Let's go.
The physicality is going to be good for them. So
yes,
they have either four or three roster spots left, depending on what happens with Udonis. So they still have some moves to make, kind of waiting on the contract details here to see what happens with Morris. But, you know, I think they can sign, obviously, minimum guys and be away from the hard cap. The other thing that they can do is, depending on how they structure Lowry's increases and Duncan's increases, they can even fit the rest of their mid-level exception and their biennial exception. I know that some people have said otherwise. I mean, we've crunched our cap numbers and they can do it depending on how a couple deals get structured.
Right.
So under contract right now, Miami has agreed to or has signed already Jimmy, Bam, Lowry, Hero, Duncan, Dwayne Dedmon, Tucker, Max Strus, Gabe Vincent, KZ Okpala, and now Markieff Morris. So four spots or three, depending on UD.
Right.
There's still a couple guys. So if you got your next pick at the crop, do you want another kind of power forward slash center, or do you want them to go more somebody at the wing?
I would say at the wing at this point.
Not a lot available. I mean, now we're talking about, you know, Garrison Matthews.
I don't know him. I don't know him.
You don't know he was on the Wizards, the Heat killer.
I know him. I don't know him.
Miami doesn't have a backup point guard. I mean, I guess you have Gabe Vincent, but I don't know how good you feel about that. Maybe they find one of these kids at Summer League that are pretty good. Let's bring in Luke here. Luke, what's up, man?
Hi, first time, long time. you just mentioned Summer League. I don't know if y'all have done looked into the guys we have this year, but with the depth situation of our roster, how much do you expect us to depend on getting those diamonds in the rough from the Summer League roster?
That's a great question. Thanks. Yeah, so like I think that they're gonna have their two-way spots open, and I think that those are going to be some of those Summer League guys.
Right.
They have some defense-first guys that we talked about a while ago that they really like. I think it's going to be – listen, that's going to be a really competitive Summer League for them, and they're going to have to hit on one of those guys. And Tiff, Miami's good at that. They always hit on –
they're going to – one of those guys will materialize. Like, I can't think of the kid's name, but he's the – I mean, his defense looks ridiculous.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. So, listen, maybe they hit on him. But if there's seven or eight guys that they're sending out there, one of those guys will stick.
So, like, let's remember that. Like, the guys that we're talking about in Summer League are – these are guys to, like, eat regular season minutes. What Miami really has to focus on is who are our 7 to 8 guys that we're playing in the playoffs. Like,
right.
Regular season, we'll find our young guys to kind of get us through the season. You know, Gabe Vincent will eat some minutes. Max Strus, you know, these guys, whoever else they bring on their two-way deals, whatever guy they find in the G League, which Miami, again, they didn't have a G League last year. They're one of the best teams at using it. You know, the guys that they have now, I mean, you know that you can count on Jimmy, Bam, Lowry, Duncan, Hero, PJ, and then from there, you know, maybe a little bit of Deadman, but not too much.
Right.
So, you know, Morris, I think they're also going to kind of depend on. So I think you're a couple guys away from like a full playoff rotation, and I'm sure that they'll be active at the deadline too.
Yeah. Yeah. This is whatever they go into the season with. It won't be what they end the season with. They're definitely going to be active at the deadline.
So, Siobhan, hi, what's up?
What's up, guys? How you doing?
What's
you
up?
We're doing good. So you excited for that one?
Oh, man. Listen, we got Left Twix. I'm yes. Super excited.
Yeah. Left Twix?
Yo,
left
listen, Twix. We got Left Twix and Buns.
Left Twix is the one you think isn't quite as good as your dominant Twix, but really, it is. And the things that he's bad at or isn't as good at are things that he could drill and things that he can work on. I think, you know, we added toughness and some grit. We added some guts, some balls, however you want to put it. Not that we were completely devoid of it last year, but there wasn't enough to, you know, to go around. One person had to have too many. And, you know, we saw how that kind of ended. I like it. I'm excited. I think the totality of the moves today, has me pretty excited. I stand by it, like, kind of, you know, when we were talking about Lowry early on, my stance was always that he's good and I'm not a fan, or I'm not necessarily a fan of his. I recognize his value, but my point was that, you know, he wasn't going to be enough. And I fully believe that, you know, not any singular piece that was brought in today would have been enough, but the combined effect is what I think is going to take them over. And if the guys that do remain on roster, if they can, you know, hit a different type of stride, you know, they've had rest, they had some time to do some skill development. So, well, hopefully Bam finds some time to get some rest. But I'm excited. I like what they did. I do think, you know, they'll be active at the deadline. They positioned themselves with good pieces to do so. Or if they're clicking, then, you know, shit, roll them out.
Right.
You know?
Kevin Arnovitz always says, and it's one of my favorite quotes when talking about the NBA, is grown-ass men win championships.
Yeah.
Right? And I think
And we got them.
Yep.
People
are clowning the Lakers. You know, they do got all the uncles, but they got some grown-ass men.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
It's so, like, I think, you know, youth is obviously good. And, you know, Phoenix is a good example of that. But, like, you know, the Heat have always kind of fielded veteran teams. They're always veteran teams. And one of the things that I think they lost with Jay Crowder is they lost a little bit of that edge. They lost a little bit of that size and guarding up that they just didn't have. And they were really, you know, and I think a lot was overly made of that point, because I think Ariza during the regular season really filled in that role nicely. I know that in the playoffs it went sideways, but mostly in the regular season it was good. And Jay's shooting is just so anomalous at times. It's really hard to depend on that consistently. But you bring in these guys that are vets, that are, you know, a couple guys that have won championships, right? Markieff Morris, Kyle Lowry, like, these are proven vets. PJ Tucker coming off a championship. You get guys that know how to win with a bunch of dudes, and you're 24-year-old superstar. And that's a great environment. And you have a guy like Tyler who can grow, and that's going to be a good competitive environment. Those practices. We were joking earlier that, like, PJ and Jimmy might try to kill each other after practice. And that's fucking awesome. That's just so fucking Heat. You know what I mean? Like, that's Miami Heat.
I hope the collection of them are trying to kill Bam in every practice. Like, I think all around,
for sure.
Like, you know, it's going to be fantastic. We don't have to, it's not, you know, Udonis is there to, quote unquote, instill some discipline or whatever. Hopefully now we have enough discipline, enough experience to where, you know, they can hold their own and still hopefully lead by example and just help push. They're not bad guys at all. They're not bad, you know, young people, but, like, you know, there's nothing that you can't understate experience and having done it before.
Christian Jones in chat says Tyler's going to get murdered at practice. Yeah, probably good.
That's what he needs.
You guys need a little bit of that. You guys need a little bit.
Listen, but point about Tyler, this helps him tremendously. It takes the pressure off of him having to be the playmaker, having to do those things. Now he can just play using his bare instincts. Go get a bucket. Go get those rebounds.
They still got to get a backup guard.
Yeah, well, we're not there yet. Let's focus on what we got.
Let's bring in Sean real quick. Sean, what's up, man?
Hey, I just wanted to talk about, like, the small forward situation or the wing situation going forward, because y'all were like, you know, there's some options out there, but I'm looking, there's, like, apparently Wes Matthews is out there, but I thought Jimmy basically ended his career, like, in the bubble. Because I'm kind of worried, because it's, like, unless you're, like, saying, KZ, you've got to hold down. Like, you've got to be rotational in the regular season. Jimmy's going to basically average, like, a double-double in brick shots and rolled ankles by the playoffs again.
Yeah, no, I agree with you. We talked about that on the pod some too. Like, Ishmith going to the Hornets. I guess that was earlier in the day. I just saw that. Sean, I agree. Like, and I said that I don't think they're going to be able to address every need this offseason. I think that they're a wing short, and I've been pretty consistent in saying that. I was like, they can get their point guard. They can get a real starting point guard who can defend the point of attack. They can get some shooting. They can get a real starting power forward. But the only thing that they can't really get this offseason, which really wasn't available, was a legit guy at the wing. Whether that's a backup guy or whether that's a starting guy, that's the one thing they need. So I'm sure that they're going to be shopping around the deadline to get it. I think your concerns are valid.
Is Max technically a three or a two? Because some people have like posted him there, but.
No, Max is not
no,
a three.
Man.
Not even
they'll
on,
roll him out at three.
They'll roll him no, out sir. There, but not on Sundays. Not even on Sundays. He, with a prayer, it's not happening. But what's going to have to happen is they'll sign whoever else is left that they can sign. And what they're going to do and what we're going to accept, because that's just how it works, they're just going to have to patchwork some things. They're going to have some different defensive schemes and all these different things to kind of plug whatever little hole there is left. And honestly, not for nothing, but with what they do have, they'll be okay. Yep. They won't be great. They won't be bad, but they'll be good enough to where if everyone plays at their level, they'll be fine.
Yep. I think you, and I don't know how big of leap or bound, but I think you can expect to see maybe a little bit more of KZ this season. I mean, they're going to need it, right? Like you said, Sean, is what other option kind of in that area do we have beyond Jimmy? And I wouldn't be shocked if he, you know, if he showed that he is ready now, you know, maybe a bit more so than he had been last year. I think, you know, he's getting Olympic experience. I don't think there's anything that can be taken away from that. Right. He and Precious, too. I hope Precious goes on to do really, really good things in Toronto. I really, really do. But I don't know. I think definitely what Tiffany said, if they can patch it together, and that's the fun part of coaching is figuring out how to patch these things together. If, you know, Spo's this, you know, innovative and this, you know, type of coach that he is, I think he's gonna, you know, enjoy this chance to be able to do something like this with this influx of talent. I think, like you said, Tip, they should be okay. They should be good.
And
they
you know,
backup guard,
right? They'll do well enough to figure it out. And guess what? You hold that rope until the trade deadline, and then you see what you got. Because if you're rolling, then you keep rolling with what you got.
Yep, absolutely.
But if you notice that there's a slight bubble in the tire, then you make a move. But like, you know, let's call it what it is. Like we're ahead of the curve that we set last season. Like absolutely. we didn't roll back the same starting five and say, oh, let's figure it out. No, they literally went in with a broom and they just swept it out. Come on, like, guys, get hype. We got Honey Buns and Twix.
Come on.
We ready. Ready.
Sean, appreciate you calling in, man. Thanks so much.
Thanks.
So let's bring in another caller here. We have Jalal. What's up, man?
What's up? How y'all doing?
How's it going, man? You excited or what?
Yes, but I'm worried about our backup point guard spot.
So they let Nun go. Which I was glad about. I'm not really it's no secret. I'm not a Nun fan.
Cause you a hater.
Smith was a guy that I was like, maybe, huh? Maybe.
Do you think they would take a look at Schroeder?
No.
Because his market is dead though.
But it's
dead, but that's his fault. That don't mean we got to take him that don't mean we got to take him because the market is dead. Like we got some, and not that we can't afford him, but like you can't have him coming in there thinking he's supposed to be starting.
Definitely not. Definitely
like
not
you want those problems.
I'm trying to look at like cap sheets right now. Like who has cap space? Because that I mean he can sign and trade obviously, but for the Lakers that gets really hard because the Lakers can't take back salary because they're going to be right up against a hard cap.
Gee, if he said, "All right, I get it. I'm humbled. I'm ready to play. I'll come off the bench. Blah blah blah. I'll take the 50 cents you got in the couch cushion. Then fine. But like you can't roll up and think you're the starting point guard. That's his ultimate problem. Well, that's his ultimate problem, and that's the reason why now he outside with a can shaking it in front of all these stores.
No, he's definitely Squidward in the
house. Sam Presti?
He's definitely Squidward in the house.
Yes, he is. He out there shaking that can. He played himself. So whoever he goes to, he's got to humble himself to realize, like, now I'm coming in on the ass end of free agency, which means obviously I'm not the starting point guard, or I would have already had a deal.
That part.
Mm.
So if he goes back to the Thunder, which would be really funny because they're one of the few teams, them and the Spurs are half cap space. It would be really, really funny if he goes to the Thunder and then they retrade him for draft picks. That's what's going to happen, right?
Could you imagine?
That's what's going to happen. They've traded him for the first time for picks, and then what they're going to do is they're going to retrade him, and it'd be funny if they retraded him to the Lakers.
All right, so one second, right. I don't mean to cut you off. I'm about to get out of here. Y'all have a great rest of the show.
Thanks.
All right, Sean.
Audience, I'm listening. I'm excited. Y'all should get excited. We have, you know, some stuff to be excited about, I think. I'll talk to y'all later.
Enjoy. And take care.
Enjoy.
Jalal, thanks so much for the call, man. We appreciate that.
No problem.
So let's get in. We got Curtis. We got Curtis Hero. What's up, man?
What's up, Curtis?
Hey, good afternoon, y'all. So can y'all hear me? Hello?
Yep. Yeah, we're good.
So 2 points. The first is Barry shot this down when I asked him on Twitter, but I think about a role that still needs to be filled, that kind of Andre Iguodala, 15 minutes off the bench, can give some defense and playmaking. I don't think there's a better player to fill that role out there than Justice Winslow, you know, if he's healthy and if things could be patched up with the front office. What are y'all's thoughts on him coming in on a prove-it minimum deal to fill that role off the bench? And then secondly, my second question, you know, with the need at backup point guard, would you consider moving Tyler Hero for Colin Sexton, maybe even getting something back since Sexton's on an expiring and that really depreciates his value? So, thoughts on that move.
I'll start with the Colin thing because I actually have reporting on that. The Cavs are going to keep him. They like him. They only were going to trade him because they didn't want to pay the extension. They're gonna run it this season, and they're going to see how they feel about him at the end of the year. They're not going to move him. They like him. They're worried about the money, and they're going to have a prove it season with him, and then see what he's going to get. So and if you're Cleveland, honestly, you look at these guys like Schroeder, who you thought were going to get a ton of money, and then the market dried up real quick, and you know. So I don't think they hate that, and I think they're going to see what they have. That's at least what I've been told. Curtis, what was the first question again? It was
the Justice Winslow coming in on the minimum to fill kind of that off the bench kind of.
Buddy, listen, I give Justin the biannual. Somebody asked what they can get with the biannual. The biannual is going to be tricky for them, and it's going to be really dependent on what their cap figures are for Lowry and Duncan with their annual increases. So we have it projected that they can use it. Other people don't have it projected that they can use it, but we're making an assumption that they're going to go as low as they can with Hero with Duncan and Lowry, and then have those Kyle with the 5% increase annually and Duncan with the 8. That's what we project, but it really depends. And I love Winslow. I just don't think that he'll ever patch it up with this front office, and I think it's too soon to.
Yeah,
that ended ugly, and I won't forget when it was almost kind of playing out through the media where they were a little bit accusatory of kind of how he handled his injury. And let's not forget that he played an entire half in Denver concussed and then never played again. That's something to remember. And he said no, and then he released some medical stuff to prove that he was indeed not right to play. So I don't know if that'll ever get fixed, but I would love him. He's great. He's one of my favorites.
Yeah. You know, I said that too, that if they brought him back, I would love to have him back. But I think that that's missed the mark. I definitely don't think anytime soon he'll be coming back. I mean, I'm just hoping that somebody picks him up.
I hope so. I mean, he'll get a contract. He's a young player. I mean, remember, he came into the league really, really young. So he'll get offers. I'm not worried about that. But I don't think that'll be for the Heat. There's not a ton of guys available, and I think there's not a ton of teams with cap space, especially a team like the Spurs who look to want to lose. I mean, I don't know what the hell they're doing, but you know what I mean. It doesn't appear very good. So we're kind of at the twilight. Miami's probably going to get one guy and then maybe take a flyer on like an Oladipo. Oladipo's still unsigned.
And I think they should take the flyer on him.
I would, Tiff. Tiff, I think he is really important to them if this thing kind of works out.
Defense that we that defense we saw in that one game versus Golden State, the defense he played on Steph Curry. Like, if he's healthy and you're going into the playoffs this year,
he's good.
That right there.
Tiff, are you there?
Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you.
Yeah, that right there puts you in a whole nother level.
Hey, Brass.
What's up, guys?
Hey, Brass.
Brass, how are y'all feeling?
You excited? You know, I wasn't a big Stinky Morris twin fan, but I've really talked myself into it.
Listen, man, this team has got some grit. This team, this last day, and it's been incredible.
It's
this
fun,
team,
man.
This team is stacked. But I truly feel that we haven't addressed the biggest issue that we had last year. That we really need to address it before the season is I'm still waiting for Woj or Shams to like announce that the Heat have signed up to get booster shots, because if we could do that, we're good, man.
Yeah, we got to stay healthy.
Yeah. Everybody has to stay locked up. This COVID Delta's scary. Delta's out there. We got to keep them safe. Lock Jimmy in a safe until April.
Like 100%.
Just keep them safe. They have a lot of old guys. They just got to keep PJ in a safe. I believe that's the vulnerable community.
I mean, listen, some of this team is kind of old at this point. You know, you can never be too careful.
Right.
I mean,
although now
Lakers,
it's like this new variant is like the younger people.
Yeah.
So, I mean, come on, man.
Maybe our old heads are good.
Okay, yeah.
Take this shit seriously.
They'll make it. There's one thing I thought was interesting, guys, our friend Leif over at Five Reasons said, was that, you know, it kind of appears that the Heat are looking to duck the tax, which would be a little weird. Leif goes, listen, I'm just going to say this now. If the Heat intend to stay under the tax, that sucks. You can't in good conscience say that Lowry and Tucker are that massive of an upgrade over all outgoing in totality. They need more complementary pieces. They must use spending levels available, which I agree. I think Leif's right. I think they will, though.
Yeah, I don't think they're done.
I mean, they still have roster spots to fill.
Right.
And I don't think Andy's dumb. Maybe they save the biannual for a buyout guy. And maybe what they'll do is they'll keep that 14 spot maybe for like a guy who's non-guaranteed or something. And then they can kind of play around with the cap so that they can get a guy at the buyout. That could be something that they want to do.
I've seen them hold on to these exceptions for like so long and they like never use them too. Like, I mean,
no, yeah, I know, but I don't mind if they keep, I mean, cause like there's really nobody like out there that I'm like, they got to pay that guy. Like,
right.
They,
right.
You know.
Agreed.
Not that's left.
There's always a guy that you want. I mean, Blake Griffin was legit a difference maker for the Nets. I know that they lost in the second round, but like he gave them really good minutes. Batum, really impactful. So if you can offer a guy like, hey, listen, we can offer you this chunky biannual. It's like 3.4. It's not insignificant. You know, and they're going to be guys, you know, like Thaddeus Young got sent to the Spurs. He, you know, in that DeMar trade, he's a guy that, you know, is a potential buyout candidate. Dragic, I know that Dragic can't come back, but, you know, there's going to be guys all over the league that are going to get bought out that are going to want to win. And Miami has a good fucking team. So they're going to.
The core of this team is really sound, man.
Right.
And the core of this team loves each other. Right. I mean, maybe not Peter Tucker, but like, you know, I think they're going in. They're going to go in with some major, major chemistry.
Exactly.
And so, I mean, that's huge to me. That I don't really care who else. Because at this point now, just every time I see a tweet that mentions Miami Heat, you know, for, you know, in my notification, you know, like Shams or
whatever. It's extra. Now it's like
just
extra.
Endorphins, man. I'm just I love it. I love
We're
it.
Back,
whatever
baby.
Do, I love We're it at this point.
We're back.
Somebody in chat said they have a team of assholes. I agree. I love it. What's up, Tony? We're bringing Tony in. What you got?
First time, long time. Look, I was coming up here to talk about Depot. As you like, look at the roster and where the holes are still, there's flexibility remaining to grab a guy in the buyout market. There's flexibility remaining to trade at deadline. If you have Vincent backing up Lowry right now as it stands, and you bring back Depot, you have an upgrade there. You can go into deadline trying to upgrade that four position. Like Leif's right. It's the cap you have a lot of flexibility left. There's biannual left. Like, Tucker's contract is hefty, and that could be salary filler for a guy. And then you have Keith still here under roster. So there's all kinds of moves that you can make. And this whole gas station candy store is looking really nice right now.
Well, also, the Depot still wants to be here, man. Like, he really, really wants to be here.
And he fits the culture, right? Like, right, and even the scheme. Like, right now, we are long, big, and strong. Like, Depot fits right in. We can run a zone. We could do a switch defense. It's so much. Depot and Lowry next to each other would make me so happy. It would make me so happy.
I'm in on Depot. Like, it's a flyer. I think also, like, an important thing is that Miami's in title contention mode. And I don't think you want Depot on another team and they get him in April and they get a guy like that, you know, that kind of acquisition. So I know that he didn't shoot the lights out here or he was anything special, but I do think that he can make a difference for them, especially off the bench. I think that the starters, you know, you got Lowry, I think secured like Lowry, Duncan, Jimmy, Bam, and then whoever you throw out at the four, whether that be PJ or whatever, and maybe Depot plays into that starting lineup, and you run three guards with Jimmy at the four. You know, if they can defend well enough,
you just keep him around if you can, and figure out the rest.
Would you give him the biannual if he wants it?
I would fill it. What's the point? Like, use it. You got it.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I think there's an argument to be made to save it, but I honestly I would use it. If that's what it takes, I would take the flyer and use it.
I think it's better to keep that guy in-house. He has so much length, so much defensive versatility. Like, I just want him on the squad at this point. And you gave up assets for him. Kelly, lick your fingers, was, like, a real piece for this squad. So
Kelly be nice with this team.
Yeah, no, tell me about it. I was thinking about
Kelly be, like, looking at, like, Kelly off the bench and be like, I'm not going to lie, that'd be kind of nice.
Listen, with the money he's making, he gets to live it up in Detroit, man.
Exactly.
I'm asking him, go get it, Kelly.
Yeah, let him live where he's at. Let him
go get it, Kelly.
Let him go build cars or something.
Before I bounce, is PJ Tucker that donut, the jelly donut that would be good if it wasn't stale, but you're not sure because it's the last one and it's like 9 p.m. in the store?
I'm not gonna let you slander my man that way.
Take you out.
I'll take you out. Not slandering my man PJ that way. Freshest shoes in the league. He's gonna come with a new pair of shoes every game. What's up, Brian?
Hey guys.
Hey, Brian.
We're wrapping up here soon. You excited or what?
Absolutely. I just wanted to chime in on the Depot thing, and I wanted to paint it this way to you guys because I know you were talking about a shooting, and I know like when we always talk about like you know dead legs, you get horrible shots up, and then when everything came out about his medical, you find out that one of his muscles wasn't even attached correctly from that original surgery. So, I mean, he had no legs, or at least one leg. But if you look at the biannual, and let's say he's not ready till January to actually start coming in, and let's say he's only averaging 13, 14 points a game but can still give you defense, can you get someone at the guard position better than that at 3.4?
Probably not. I mean, I don't know what the biomarker is, but I think his upside is certainly huge. And like Tip said, he wants to be here. And you can get his bird rights. And I think if he has a good season, you can work with something next season to keep him. It makes sense. So, like, I wouldn't want to give him the biannual. But
yeah,
I mean,
especially that we won't have to pay Ryan Anderson next year.
That's true.
Yeah.
That's a good point.
Baby.
Well, I also think that, I mean, he still has to prove it to the league, too. I mean, with his injury history, I don't think he's going to make enough more anywhere else, especially since, I mean, when would – best case scenario, when's he going to start?
Yeah, we don't know. I mean, that's just a huge question mark.
He's worth more to us than anyone else.
Yeah. Right, yeah. He ain't fucking Durant. He ain't, like, signing a four-year deal and missing the entire first
season.
Like,
Kawhi's going to miss the year, and whoever's the Clippers are going to resign him. They can give him everything. So,
We just
wanted to do this little addendum show because we did one in the morning kind of talking about what everything that happened last night, kind of got the PJ stuff in that broke after our stream. And, you know, this kind of came up and we thought it'd be a good opportunity to kind of get back on here, talk to you guys. This will be on the Made Pod feed. If you miss any of it, check it out at Miami Heat Beat on iTunes, Spotify, Google Pods, wherever you get your podcasts. You can follow us at MIA Heat Beat on Twitter and Instagram, so you can get your updates and news there. I'm Giancarlo Navas, your host. That was Brass Jazz, Tiffany Meek, Siobhan was on earlier. Thanks to our listeners. Thanks to our guests. We love and appreciate y'all, and we'll be back on the air this week.
Thank you, guys. Bye.
See you, guys.